What's up, everybody? Welcome to Smoking Weed and Talking MMA. This is episode number 24. My name is Jared. I'm here with my good friend Paul.
What's up?
On today's episode, we are going to be talking about all sorts of cool fights from this past weekend, starting off with UFC Fortaleza, some of our favorite fights from there. We're going to talk a little bit about the Bare Knuckle Fight Club 4 that happened over this weekend. We're going to take a look ahead to UFC 234, got a championship middleweight fight on that card, plus an exciting co-main event. And everybody, we are going to be debuting two brand new weekly segments. The first is going to be Fighters Who Smoke, where we take a look at MMA fighters who use cannabis or CBD, either recreationally or in their training. And we're also going to be debuting the Weed of the Week, which has kind of been a somewhat sort of a segment we've done this entire time, hasn't it, Paul?
Yeah.
But now it's going to be a little bit more of an official thing. And in the Weed of the Week, what we're going to be seeking to do is share with you, our listeners, the best possible cannabis products that we can find here in Las Vegas, because this is basically, if it's not yet, Paul, it's going to be the cannabis capital of the world,
yeah,
don't you think?
Way. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, we're the tourist capital of the world.
Yeah.
Like, the chances are, if you're listening to us right now, if you haven't been here before, you're going to come here at some point in the future.
Yeah, definitely.
And we want you to know all the good shit that you can find here, because there's a lot of selection. Not everything is great, but we can promise you, if we're talking about it in our Weed of the Week segment, it's some bomb-ass shit, right,
yeah,
brother?
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. So this week, man, let's get right into the Weed of the Week. Smoke weed every day. With that said, we have got some OMG THC Tangerine Shatter this week.
Yep.
I'm excited about this stuff, Paul. We're a little bit familiar with this company, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've been out. We've been to their lab. We've been on a tour. We've met the folks.
Yep.
They're pretty awesome. And what makes OMG pretty unique out here in Las Vegas is they are the only company that is doing both solventless extraction, and they're also doing butane and propane-free extraction. So if that's an important thing to you, like it is to me, like it is to Paul, then that's definitely a brand you want to ask for when you come out here. So like this shatter that we're about to hit here in a moment, like if you want to start getting this rig going here, Paul, this shatter we're about to hit is it's extracted with all-natural grain alcohol. So that's a little bit of a torch you hear going in the background, folks. And I'm just going to pause. It's just going to be about 30 seconds or so while that's going, while we heat this up. Now, if you're brand new to cannabis and you don't know what shatter is, think of it as like an old school kind of hash. It's just kind of like a modern day version of hash. It's a cannabis concentrate. It looks kind of like almost like a glass. When you grab it and you break it, it kind of shatters apart. Hence the name. It tends to be kind of an amber color.
Yeah, start your time.
And we got to get a timer going here. All right. Now, if you've never hit off a dab rig before, folks, once you heat it up with the torch, you got to wait a few seconds to let it hit the ideal temperature, which is what we're doing right now. Now, this is a tangerine shatter. Again, butane-free. It looks like I'm going to take this first hit then right here.
Yep. Start you off right.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, everything they're doing over there at OMG is definitely, like, they're doing it the right way, seems, across the board. Everything is, like, real labor-intensive and just doing things, like, because there's definitely other companies out there that cut corners, and they don't cut any corners over there. You know, they make sure everything is done. Like, and they like to do things different too, you know, like they've got a lot of different products that people should check out.
Absolutely, a lot of different products. that are all high quality, a little bit labor intensive. They've got old school hashes. They've full spectrum cannabis oils, all kinds of interesting stuff that you're just, a lot of companies don't make because they're labor intensive.
Yeah.
And it's also a little bit harder. Like, you get more of a yield when you use propane or if you use butane. You get a higher yield and it's easier. But they're going with, you know, the more healthier way to do things, which is pretty dope. I got to say, the tangerine flavor on this exhale, on this shatter, is amazing, dude. Yeah. Wow. I'm digging that a lot. That is tasty. Whew, got to cough a little bit on that. Let's take a look at the terpene profile on this OMG THC tangerine shatter here. We've got B-carophylline. It's 2.78 milligrams. We've got nerolidol, which is at about 1.5 milligrams per gram, and humulene at about 1 milligram. Now, what's surprising is you might hear that, and if you're like really into dabbing, you might think that those are low terpene levels, but honestly, the flavor that is in that right there, and I think you're about to agree with me here in a second when you hit that, Paul, the flavor that's in there is, it tastes like it's much higher. That shit is real smooth, real nice. About to fire up this torch again, folks. It's a beautiful rig you got there, Paul. If you're watching on video on YouTube, you can see that. It's a very nice custom piece we're smoking out of right here.
Yeah.
Now, while Paul's getting ready to hit this, I'm going to go over some of these terpenes that are in here and kind of what you can expect from them. So humulene is it's an antibacterial, it's an anti-inflammatory, and it's kind of an anti-tumor terpene. A lot of other... excuse me, folks, that dab hits the throat kind of hard. It's found in other things like cloves and basil and hops, but, of course, the best way to get it is through some cannabis. Carophylline is the next one, and there's kind of a peppery terpene. You're going to find that in, like, black pepper, cloves, and cinnamon. There's oregano, basil, hops, rosemary. It's also an anti-inflammatory, it's an anti-cancer, and it also shows anti-anxiety and antidepressant properties. Damn, that was a monster hit Paul just took on this dab rig right here. Like, that went right in my face. I'm breathing it in. I'm getting a hit off that, too. It's like the dual hit. And finally, while Paul's losing a lung over there off that monster, the final terpene on here is one I'm really not familiar with. This is a brand new. It's nerolidol. I think I'm pronouncing that right. If not, I've literally never heard of this before. But it's an antiparasitic, an antifungal, and an antimicrobial, which is pretty interesting. That I'm not familiar with, but that's the fucking cool thing about having medical marijuana first and now recreational cannabis spreading everywhere, dude. Is that we're finding out all these medical benefits from these plants and these cannabinoids and these terpenes that we couldn't really study beforehand.
Yeah.
And, I mean, more information comes out daily, so.
Yeah.
What did you think? You just took a monster hit of that OMG. What did you think of that tangerine shatter there?
Went down pretty smooth. I mean, it definitely made me cough, but I liked it.
Well, yeah, when you take a hit that big, you're probably going to cough. This is 79% THC, a 78.722, so you can see what we mean when we say it's concentrate. That's Now, if you're fairly new to cannabis, or perhaps you're listening and you don't smoke, like your average, like a good weed, is going to have 20-25% THC, so you can see 79 is no joke.
It's a step up low. It's the next level.
What did you think of that flavor on there?
Definitely was, it's got a better aftertaste, like you don't taste it as much like when it goes down, But once you go, like, once you blow it out, you get, like, that aftertaste. You can taste that, like, you know, like that citrus flavor.
Yeah, that's what I noticed, too. Now, that's what they said when they gave us this shatter here. They said that you're going to find that, you know, even though those terpenes might look a little low percentage-wise, you're going to find it really packs a flavorful punch.
Yeah.
And this is all natural. They don't add anything to it. You know, a lot of companies will add some terpenes back into their shit. Yeah. Like, these are the same, you know, levels that were in the plant originally.
Uh-huh.
Their head guy over there at OMG, Grant, who's doing making all these. Good dude, making some good products. I like this a lot, man.
Yeah.
100%. I'm looking forward here to smoking some more. And I feel better, honestly, looking at it. It says right on the front, 100% butane-free, extracted with all natural grain alcohol. And, like, that's important to me. I get worried about some of the parts per million that are winding up with this propane and butane. I don't know what the long-term effects of that kind of shit smoking it is. Maybe it's fine. Maybe it's nothing. But with this, I don't have to stress it. I can tell it doesn't bother you so much. I know you smoke a lot, like different concentrates, more than I do.
Yeah.
What do you think? Is it a winner?
Yeah, it's definitely dope.
Well, tell you what, folks, if you want to come out here, if you're already here in Vegas or you're coming out here to Vegas and you want to give this OMG THC Tangerine Shatter a try, or any shatter that they've got is going to be the same. It's going to be made the same. It's going to be high quality. It's going to be kind of a boutique product, so you're not going to find it in every store. So, but right now you can get it at New Woo Cannabis. You can find their menu at newwoocannabis.com. That's NUW. And that's a pretty cool dispensary out here in Vegas. Not too far from the Strip. It's up a little bit north of the Strip, kind of in between the Strip and downtown, right? If I remember correctly. Good store.
It's on downtown.
Yeah, it's on it's on like Indian reservation land, which makes it a little bit different. And has a fucking drive-through.
Yeah, which, it's 24 hours too.
It's 24 hours and it's got a drive-through, so you can go to their menu. You can go find some OMG shatter on there, and you can go pick it up in the drive-through, and that's pretty dope. So. Yeah. I think that wraps up our weed of the week. We're going to keep hitting this throughout the episode. We hope that you're smoking on some fine cannabis too. And Paul, let's dive right into UFC Fortaleza. Tell me, out of those fights last night, what was your favorite? I mean, do you want to start with Jose Aldo? Do you want to start with Marlon in the title or the main event? You want to talk about Johnny Walker?
Yeah,
you want to
talk about Lyman Good? Let's start down there.
All right, Johnny Walker, folks. This was a 205-pound fight. He is a Brazilian. It sounds like an American with a name like Johnny Walker.
Yeah.
I like to call him Scotch. How is that not his nickname? I was calling him that last night. I was smoking weed and watching, and I was like, my boy Scotch is about to fight.
That's funny.
But yeah, this kid looks pretty fierce. Yeah, last night... he fought Justin Ledet.
He showed him how flat the earth was.
Yes, he introduced him to that flat earth in a whole new way, didn't he? Justin Ledet, former boxer, decent fighter, flat earther.
Flat earther, for sure.
Johnny Walker wasn't having none of that flat earth nonsense last night. What was that? He knocked him out in the first round, spinning back fist. It was about,
a little sketchy there at the end, though. You almost soccer kicked him in the head.
He attempted a soccer kick to the head, but he missed. So
I thought it was to the body at the first, when the first finish happened. I thought he kicked him in the body.
It looked from one angle like he hit, but ultimately he didn't. It was about a 22-second fight.
Those get sketched. Like, I understand if it's like they're on their back and you like down kick them. Like, those I understand, but like when you're like in the middle of the like, he could have finished him either way, is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? That was just unnecessary. And he's a young guy, so it's like he gets away with shit like that. But
well, luckily,
his grade of competition is going to only go up from here.
You know, let's be clear. He did not get hit like with that kick. I mean, no, the soccer kick did not land. So it wasn't like Greg Hardy with his illegal knee, which
intentional
or not.
Either way, it still raises questions.
He's got to be careful. He's lucky it didn't
fight IQ, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Because he's got a lot of, he's got some personality.
Yeah.
You know, he's Brazilian. Fire, he speaks some decent English, though, which, I only bring that up because it's important. If you're going to blow up in the United States, it's really helpful if you speak good English. Like, it's just going to really boost your
career.
Anderson
Silva started getting big when he started, like, getting his English
down. Look at Khabib Nurmagomedov. Yeah. He really improved his English over the years. Like, he doesn't speak it perfectly, but he speaks it a lot better, and it really helps. It helps boost that fucking star power here. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, so, and he's doing all right. He's got a just a shitload of personality. He's pretty fucking fierce.
He's got some fucking highlight reel knockouts already.
And he's got some knockouts, doesn't he, Paul?
Well, think about it this way. His last fight, he knocked out Khalil Roundtree, and we were talking about a couple months ago. Khalil Roundtree was back on the map after he knocked out Gohan Sashi.
I know, Vegas time. Local. Yeah, so one of my favorites.
You got to look at this guy. This guy's on the up and ups here, the light heavyweight division.
Absolutely, and it's a light heavyweight division. We've said before on the show that it needs a little bit of lifeblood. Well, this dude's fucking bringing some.
Yeah, for sure.
Who do you want to see him matched up with in the future? You're thinking about Thiago Santos, perhaps? You had mentioned that before the show.
I was thinking about Thiago Santos.
I kind of like that matchup.
I know he has a fight booked right now, but I feel like that'd be a good test for him. Plus, they could sell the Brazilian versus Brazilian aspect. Maybe they could do it on the next like fight night in Brazil, something like that down the road. I think that'd be a good fight for them, just to test where he's at. Because that's a tough vet who is down to fight anyone, and he's fucking game. Like, fucking game, dude. You know, that fool comes to fight. No, he's had a couple fights where he's been outclassed, but no matter what, he always pushing forward. No matter if he's winning, losing, or it's a tough fight, if he's bulldozing you, he's always coming, is what I'm saying.
Pushing forward.
So I'd like to see, because Johnny Walker is someone like that as well, I'd like to see if someone reciprocated that back in his face, just to see how he would react, just because he's out here.
Too.
He's out here talking about he's got his eyes on John Jones.
Oh, like, bro, simmer John down, Jones bro. Eat you for breakfast. Yeah, simmer John down. Jones see if you can get past somebody with a hammer fist. Like, I like that fight. I agree with you 100%. Thiago Santos makes a great fight.
And I don't mean to give Thiago Santos the idea of like that he's a journeyman, but I just think that he's a good.
He's having a resurgence since he moved up in weight. Yeah. He used to be 185.
Very similar to Anthony Lionheart Smith. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who knows where he goes from here, but I'm saying maybe if he loses his next fight or something, that could be his next fight. But there's just not many guys that Johnny Walker can't beat up fucking potato sacks forever, you know. He's gonna have to fight someone legit to get his name really up there in the rankings, because this guy, although I mean, maybe you think he'll be ranked come
I doubt it.
Yeah.
We'll see the way those rankings are. But, you know, we talked about moving forward, which kind of leads us into one of the other fights on the card that you want to talk about, Lyman Good versus Damian Maia.
The fatal mistake.
And Lyman Good, that was his fatal mistake, was letting Damian Maia just move forward.
Walk him down, dude. Absolutely. Just let him walk him down. He sat on the cage and let him take him down. Like, what are you doing? You got to push back.
That was not a good plan.
You got to push back. You got to pump the jab. You got to keep him on the outside, because all he wants is the takedown, because he knows that that's his realm.
Yeah, this is a 170-pound fight, folks.
There's nobody who's fucking with him down there.
Yeah, Damian Maia's a bit old. I mean, he's 41 years old, but he's a renowned jiu-jitsu practitioner.
His jiu-jitsu has gotten so much better over the years, too. Like, he's just so sharp on the ground. Like,
well-known for taking the back and just riding you like a backpack.
You just fucking can't deny him, is what I'm saying.
No.
Remember what he did to Gunnar Nelson? Oh, my God.
That was really surprising, too. Gunnar Nelson is legit as it comes, and he just got...
He got fucking bloodied up by Damian Maia.
He's had
some shortcomings in the last, like, I think he was on a 4-fight losing streak, but he fought some. The four guys he lost to are, one's a champion, and two of them are going to fight for the belt. So.
Right. He's not been losing to scrubs.
Yeah.
He's remarkably competitive at 41 years of age. He doesn't need to be going anywhere. Lyman Good's a physical specimen who's got hammers in his fists.
Former Bellator champ.
Yeah, former Bellator champ. He's been on The Ultimate Fighter. He's a good fighter. I like the dude.
Yeah.
But you can't let Damian Maia do that. That was a terrible, terrible game.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, you can't let him walk you down and take you down and choke you the fuck out, because he's going to do that all day.
Right, right.
You know, just someone that was during this fight week, I just felt like he was super optimistic about his game and how it would match up with Damian Maia. And I figured, you know, with Damian Maia having a little bit of trouble in his last few fights, then maybe he wasn't the same. But then he came out and just had a classic Damian Maia performance, you know what I mean, where he just went out there and got the job done.
I thought there was a chance, because one of these days he's going to age and he's going to get slept by a guy like Lyman Good, but not this weekend, last weekend. Very impressive. So what did you think about, what do you want to talk about next? The co-main or the main event? I mean, they're both of kind of equal stature considering who was in the co-main. Jose Aldo, former two-time featherweight champion.
Well, let's talk about
greatest of all time, likely, other than Conor.
Yeah, let's go Aldo first.
Let's go Aldo in the co-main. So we had, you know, Aldo, like I mentioned before, former two-time champion. He was fighting a renowned jiu-jitsu practitioner, up-and-coming, Renato Moicano. A lot of people thought
Big motherfucker, dude.
big man for the weight class,
5'11".
145 pounds,
Jesus.
5'11". A lot of people thought, you
145
know,
pounds, bro?
He's legit. A lot of people thought he might
He
win.
was a deer in the headlights, though.
But, ooh, boy.
He was a deer in the
That was
headlights.
some vintage
First,
Jose Aldo
well,
came out there.
Here's the deal. Was there a fucking strike landed in the first round? Like, the first round was a lot of testing of the range, a lot of pumping, a lot of empty jabs, and a lot of, like, positioning. But there was no real big shots landed in the first round.
No.
The second round, Aldo just went fucking rampage and
Yeah, it was
just.
around the 4:14 mark or so. We had
Well,
a TKO, I
yeah,
believe.
well, and he just went like straight rampage on him. And like a lot of these guys at 145, a lot of these guys are young and they're not used to somebody just walking them down and them not being able to do anything about it. So Moicano just kind of shelled up and got punched out. You know what I mean? Like literally is what happened. He literally got into a shell, and Aldo was just fucking standing there picking every shot he wanted.
Absolutely. You know, the fights weren't similar in the way they went down, but to me, the way it played out reminded me a little bit of Frankie Edgar versus Yair Rodriguez. Different style of beatdowns, but it was once again you had this young up-and-comer going against a possibly over-the-hill, on-the-decline, maybe
And
fighter
just put
who
on a
then just
classic
put that shit to
performance.
rest. Like, decline? What? Not here.
Decline this.
So, or not Connor.
Well, here's the deal, though. It puts the featherweight division in a strange spot, though, at the
It
same
does,
time.
especially because he calls out several fighters, but specifically McGregor. And he says that the weight class above, which obviously means 155, and McGregor responds. McGregor said it was a good fight. Good shit.
I don't think so.
I think McGregor's going to fight Cowboy, which I don't really feel like talking. That's not, you know, there's not much more we can say about that till it gets confirmed. But.
But I think Aldo McGregor rematch. You know what it brings up a little bit of intrigue because you got to think Connor is not the same. Isn't that hungry lion anymore that he was when he fought Aldo the first time? He had nothing to prove. He has nothing to prove if he were to fight Aldo again. Honestly, he has nothing to
Right.
prove like
He
for the rest of
really,
his
for
career.
me, he
Like
shouldn't fight
honestly,
Aldo because you can't do better than the 13-second knockout.
I mean, you can knock him out in 12 seconds. No, but here's the deal. I think if they were to rematch, it's going to be a tough one for Connor. If it if, but honestly, it could be a tough night for Aldo too. I think that's actually, it's pretty. It could go either way, honestly, because who knows what's left in Connor's hands? Because the last few fights, he's been looking kind of.
Yeah.
He's not. He
Well,
just
I don't think Aldo's
if
getting
his
that
head
fight.
if his head's cut in it, and he looks like he's been in the gym nonstop, and that's great. So if he is what he's posting and everything, I think that he could probably put Aldo away again. Just because you got to think, even if Aldo's not cutting weight, it doesn't matter, dude. You're still a physically smaller person than Conor McGregor, you know.
Yeah. I don't think that fight's happening. I think much more realistically,
I
he's
think
going to fight
Cowboy
somebody like a
McGregor's
Brian
definitely
Ortega.
the fight to make over that for sure.
Yeah, what well, with that in that division, but for
I would even
Aldo,
like Poirier McGregor over that.
but for Aldo, I think the next fight is going to be someone like Brian Ortega in that division. That's a fight that makes sense.
Peace out with.
Well, Ortega's calling him out. It makes sense for Aldo. I don't buy his retirement talk. He's always saying he's
Said
going to
2019, he's done.
And remember, he was going to retire and play soccer like 3 years ago.
You,
2 years.
Dana White convinced him.
I mean, if he wants to retire, more power to him. But I mean, he talks like that all the time. I don't believe it. I
Yeah,
believe it when I
well,
see it.
I think also it really depends on where he's at. Because, like, I think those two back-to-back losses to Max Holloway really fucked him up mentally.
Well, he can't beat Max. I don't think he has a title shot. Aspirations really is unless you know he's got some money fights, maybe he wants to rematch Conor, maybe he wants to go to 155. That's a little bit more realistic. Or
155
if he
seems
sticks
like
around,
it's a place to be now.
he could fight someone like a Brian Ortega who's already calling him out. You know, it's
Yeah.
good fight for Ortega to get back into things.
Is it the Absolutely. I don't think so, because you got another solid striker out there. I think
Ortega. Well, if you can't beat Aldo, how's it going to be Max?
No duh, but yeah. I don't know.
I think it'd be a good fight for him.
I don't know. Frankie. Yeah, he did knock Frankie out. Aldo wasn't able to knock Frankie out, so we'll see.
He landed a perfect punch on that. But then in the main event, we had a 135 bantamweight, pretty important fight. We had Rafael Assunção versus Marlon Moraes. Basically a number one contender bout, a rematch.
Is it, though?
I mean, it should be, but basically,
the UFC is in such an obscure spot between flyweight and bantamweight.
If Sporting's is done correctly, it is, yeah. I don't know how you would deny Marlon his title shot after that.
Yeah. He went out there and pretty much got the job done.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's quite a performance.
In a strange spot for the rest of his career, too. Now he's looking at a guy who's about to be 37. He's split fights with the champion, but just split fights with the number one contender as well. So where does that leave him? Is he gonna? Because he's kind of been like that. Like, you know, the last few years, like after that second, after the Dillashaw loss, he's fought a couple up and comers and had some tough fights where he didn't look at his best. And then this fight happens, and it's just like he's edged out a few decisions, and he just looks like he's not the guy he was before.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. He's still a top 10 fighter in that division, but I don't think he's contending for a title anytime soon.
I don't think so either, especially if Cejudo gets a shot, because I think Marlon might wait.
Well, and also what you got to think about, too, and then you got, in 2 weeks, you got Pedro Munhoz and Cody Garbrandt fighting.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And that's a very important fight, Pedro Munhoz, too.
If he gets a job done against Garbrandt, he has a serious claim to the title as well.
Dude, did you see that press conference with Pedro? He's like the nicest guy ever.
My friends tell me I got to talk shit, but I just don't have anything bad to say about Cody.
And then, like, they asked him, like, who was it? It was John Jones, I think it was. Say something mean about Cody Garbrandt. And he's like, how about he just starts grinning, and he's like, yeah, he's like, I'll just say something nice about it. He's a very handsome man. He's got a great Lamborghini. No, he's awesome, dude. I find that slightly refreshing as well. It's fucking real. So yeah. Good for him.
So these next few weeks are going to be big for the structure of where this division is going to go, because because if these guys make enough noise on the ESPN circuit, people get some, they get a little bit of fans behind them. Who's to say that the UFC doesn't, because that TJ and Cejudo fight's going to be there no matter what.
Right.
So who's to say you don't go and you get a Joseph Benavidez, Henry Cejudo rematch, and then you get Marlon Moraes versus TJ Dillashaw, or you get Pedro. I mean, it's going to be really hard.
It's going to be really hard for
Pedro Munhoz to hop over Marlon Moraes. If he were to beat Cody Garbrandt, he's going to have to do it extremely devastating.
Murk him.
He'd have to put like a 5-round beat down.
He'd have to beat him pretty badly and then make a statement on the mic, which is slightly against his character enough to get a buzz going. I don't see it happening. But he's definitely up there in title contention. If he hangs around and gets another win, seeing how things play out, I could see him getting a shot for sure. Well, I mean, there were some other fights on UFC Fortaleza, but, you know, I think those are all the important ones coming up there.
Yeah.
You know, now let's take a little switch here and talk about that Bare Knuckle Fight Club 4 that went down over the weekend. Now, I'm finding this one real interesting. I think the bare knuckle thing, being a former boxer, I'm getting more and more excited each successful event that they roll out.
Yeah.
You know, they have that other promotion that went down.
There's some sketchy ones at the same time.
Yeah, World Bare Knuckle Fighting, something or the other. It's not even worth mentioning their name because from what I understand, they haven't even paid their fighters. It's a big mess. It was the one that Johnny Hendricks fought on and got knocked out.
Sean Merriman backed out of it.
Sean Merriman was going to fight, backed out due to fighting.
Who else was it?
Phil Barone, no, not Phil Barone and Chris Lieben. Was it those guys on there? I can't remember because, frankly, I didn't watch it. I wasn't going to give them my money. It seemed pretty shady beforehand. But this, we're not talking about them. We're talking about the real deal, Bare Knuckle Fight Club, BKFC. This was their fourth pay-per-view event. This one took place in Cancun, Mexico. I do believe, right? It was pretty cool. The main event was Leonard Garcia, who wound up winning with a second round TKO to get to the bare knuckle middleweight belt. And he was fighting Julian Lane. Do you remember Julian Lane? Julian Lane was on The Ultimate Fighter with the mohawk, real buff dude, tattoos.
Are you talking about Let Me Bang, Bro? No way.
I'm almost positive he's Let Me Bang, Bro. Julian Lane. But yeah, so they fought. And Leonard Garcia, if you don't know who that is, folks, if you're not, like, if you're an MMA hardcore fan, you know exactly who that is. But Leonard Garcia has been around the circuit, WEC. He's been in the UFC. Mm-hmm. He's very, very good friends with Cowboy Cerrone. Actually, Cerrone's famed ranch that he has out in New Mexico, like, him and Leonard Garcia started that together.
Yeah.
Like, that's his boy. He's a fixture down there at the BMF Ranch, Bad Motherfucker Ranch. Gotta love Donald Cerrone. BMF fucking ranch, people. Leonard Garcia. Now, he's a little bit, you know, out of the MMA scene, but I think that's why I like this fucking bare knuckle shit, dude.
It gives people another option.
It gives legit another option, because it's not the same as boxing. Like, you can't hide behind your gloves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't, like, you know how Floyd is a great example everyone can relate to, goes into his fucking shell, the famed fucking shell. You ain't got no fucking shell, dog.
Yeah.
You got your little fists in front of your face. It's pretty fucking dope. Like, I'm a big fan, and the BKFC seems to be, like legit. Like, Joey Beltran fought last night. Like, he's an old MMA dude. He had a rematch. Chris Lytle, out of MMA, of course.
Yeah.
He had a little stint in politics. He was a welterweight, if I'm right, or a middleweight.
Yeah.
But Chris Lytle, I mean, he was around. He was had so many fights back in the day. He came in. He won last night.
He was talking about that on... can't remember whose podcast it was. I want to say he was on Pat McAfee's podcast talking about his bare-knuckle boxing. And he had won one a couple of months back as well. That's cool, man. It's anything that gets other people different ways to make some money.
Absolutely. And Joe Riggs, man, MMA veteran Joe Diesel Riggs fought last night. He won. I'm a fan of his back in the day. I mean, his battles were the fucking shit.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see him having a comeback in this, too. I don't know if you call it a comeback. It's not MMA. It's a new thing.
Yeah, it's different.
You know what I mean?
It's different.
But I like switching it because... this isn't a tough man contest. These are highly experienced fighters. Well,
good for him, to be able to completely change your game and evolutionize your style and change it to a complete, kind of almost a different sport.
Absolutely. You know? Bare knuckle's legit. It's not just like, it's not bullshit. And it has this weird thing where it's actually proven to be safer than MMA. Well,
it's because you can't land the same punches.
Yeah, you can't punch the same. Like, when you're wearing a glove, even though the MMA gloves are smaller, you
hit harder. Max Holloway can't fight bare knuckle.
No.
You can't go out there and throw 300 punches in two rounds.
You know? And you can't go out there and break your hand and keep fighting. Like, you can't throw those blows that hard. Like, you will feel the pain and you will... That shit will get fucked up. But last but not least, last night, the new queen of bare knuckle, Beck Rawlings, defended her title against Cecilia Flores. She won a unanimous decision. That's 125 pounds, so that's flyweight.
Good for her, though. She had a little tough time at the end of her UFC career, but this is like her roots, you know? She's like went back to her roots and...
I think it's perfect for her.
Yeah.
I like it an absolute lot.
You know who I'd like to see possibly in this in the future?
Who's that?
Someone like a Jorge Masvidal.
Oh,
who like comes from that street fighting background. Because I feel like
back in the day and YouTube fights. He could Kimbo Slice style. I wouldn't be surprised.
He's fighting Darren Till coming up as well.
So he's fighting Darren Till. Yeah, that's going to be a great fight. I'm excited about that.
Dude, there's some killer fights. I mean... We didn't really talk about this. This wasn't on the schedule today, but I'd like to just take a little dive into
this. Well, let me finish up this real quick. There's one other fighter I just want to mention quick. I mentioned him before, but Joe Riggs won. He fought a guy I never heard of before, Rudo Tovar, but he's a bare-knuckle fighter out of Mexico.
Okay.
Joe Riggs, coming out. He's wins the middleweight title out there. I like Joe a lot. I'm hoping, you know, he's a little bit older for MMA.
Yeah.
But this is another guy just like Chris Lytle coming out too. This is different, it's a
different
here.
Game.
And he won. I mean, he won a unanimous decision, but it was dominant. I mean, there's a 50-44, 50-46, 49-45. So obviously,
whoop that fool's ass.
And this was in Mexico, so like this is against probably a hometown guy.
Maybe. Yeah.
You know, he did quite well. So I'm stoked on that. I'm stoked for Bare Knuckle Fight Club. I'd like to get some of these guys. I'd love to get Joe on the show. I'm working on trying to do something like that. I've been a big fan of his for a long time. And if he's down, we'd love to have him. But either way, the next event's going to be Bare Knuckle Fight Club 5. I don't know when it's coming, but when it does, I'd encourage everybody to check it out. They're like $20-25, and they're fun fucking shows, man. If you like combat sports, you should give it a fucking check. It's pretty awesome, dude. So now, you wanted to say something about the UFC shit, right? So let's circle back, because we want to talk about UFC 234 in a minute, too.
There
so
was
what were
two
you gonna
press
say,
conferences
brother?
This week that we didn't even talk about this between me and you before the show or anything.
That's a wild presser this week, right?
Two press conferences this week that I watched them. Dude, that fucking shit was hilarious. Tyron Woodley and Ben Askren just teamed up. About before, they just teamed up on Usman and fucking
Usman
just clowned
and,
him, dude.
Yes,
fucking Tyron Woodley called him LL Cool J.
LL Cool J.
He's like, hold on, he's got his LL Cool J voice on.
Marty from Nebraska. Playing his LL Cool J bit too. That was pretty awesome.
He never answered Ben's question either. Ben said that shit to him. He never said anything back. He's like, I don't know what he has any problem with me. I wish he'd just tell me unless he's scared. And then he just didn't say anything back.
Yeah, that was good. If you're looking for something amusing and you're a combat sports fan, you should go on YouTube and check out that. It was the presser for UFC 235, headlined by John Jones and Anthony Smith.
The crowd was savage. Yeah. They were really getting it.
Yeah, he told him to shut up at one point.
Yeah, Dana did. Dana was like, hey, man, stop.
Yeah, Dana, too. Some rowdies in the crowd. Kind of like when we
John
were at
Jones
the...
John Jones was fucking hyping him up, though. He's like, yeah, keep it going.
He was like, keep it going. It kind of made me think of that last UFC event you and I went to at the Palms for the tough finale where those guys were like...
Fuck him up.
Fuck him up! Every 30 seconds in a dead, silent 2,000-person arena.
Yeah, right.
you got to love drunk people sometimes. Dude. It's hilarious. But yeah, they were pretty much some comedy in that presser.
Yeah, that shit was intense. Fucking John Jones.
Cody Garbrandt was at one point filming Ben Askren. You could see him in the background. He was filming him.
Did you see
what
Ben Askren showed up in, dude?
No, I missed Slacks, the
a dress shirt, and fucking flip-flops.
He had flip-flops on? I missed that. Dude. That's hilarious.
It's a Ben Askren shit right there.
Ben Askren's pretty awesome.
That fool's too much. Man.
I hope he beats... I mean, I love Robbie Lawler, but I hope he beats him.
Here's the thing, though. People need to realize is Robbie's coming off an ACL surgery as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be tough to get in there and grapple at his best level against Ben. You know what I'm saying? Just because I think he'll be, not to say he's going to be limited in any way, but there's just, once you get those kind of injuries, there's just certain ways that your knee just doesn't move anymore.
Oh,
you know
what I'm saying? They'll take their toll, right?
Yeah, like it gets to a point where there's just like, your body can only take so much, you know? And Robbie's an older guy, you know what I'm saying? So... I'm curious to see how he deals with the grappling aspect.
It's a tough matchup for Askren. If you don't know who he is, folks, he's basically a classic wrestler versus striker matchup. Yeah. Nope. Askren being the wrestler, Robbie Lawler, the former champ, being the striker. Lawler, a multiple champ in other organizations, undefeated.
Yeah, former champion.
He's going to be here in Vegas March 2nd. We're going to be here on the scene.
Yeah, definitely.
We might not get tickets. They went pretty quick. They're pretty expensive.
Well, we planned
on
it before. Until they started announcing John Jones and shit on it. Originally, remember, it was going to be a fight night, and it was fucking just Ben Askren as the thing. But then when the other one got canceled, they moved all the pay-per-views back.
We'll be on a scene at the weigh-ins, though. We'll be checking out, seeing what kind of interviews we can land. Any cool shit we can find there for certain, though.
Yeah.
That's absolutely. Well, dude, what about UFC 234, though? Before we get to March 2nd and UFC 235, we've got UFC 234 from Australia coming in, headlined, of course, by the 185-pound title fight Robert Whittaker making his return against Kelvin Gastelum. They just got off the Ultimate Fighter filming series, all that bullshit. So there's been a lot of buildup. We know this fight was coming for a long time. It's finally here.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, actually, you know what? I got a few things to say about that. So let's save that for a second.
You want
to
put a pin in Kevin Gastelum versus Robert Whittaker for a minute, and you want to talk about Israel Adesanya versus
Anderson Silva
in the co-main event. Now, these are names everybody probably knows who Silva is, but some of our more casual fans might not know. Israel Adesanya is a young up-and-comer fighter.
He's the new Anderson Silva.
185 pounds. A lot of people are making that statement. Yeah. The new Anderson versus the old. He's a striker. He's a well-known kickboxer. He's a bad motherfucker.
He's a bad motherfucker.
He's the new breed. He's the real deal. He's probably going to get a title shot if he beats the legend Anderson Silva, who is, 41? But he's still legit. He's coming off yet another drug failure, steroid.
But still a win. Against Derek Brunson. Derek Bumpson, my bad.
He did beat him.
He beat him, and then Israel beat him.
And then
him
Israel
after.
Destroyed him.
Yeah.
But, so what do you think, man? You say you got some things you want to say about the young upstart Israel Adesanya versus the old legend pound-for-pound
great. I think he's just going to run through him, to be honest. It's going to be like a point fight in the first round, I think. And then I think
Adesanya's known for, like, feeling people out, right?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
So, yeah, because, you know, he's used to, like, doing Muay Thai and kickboxing. Mm-hmm. In Muay Thai, you don't fight the first round. You know what I'm saying? You wait it out because that's when people bet. So, although recently he's started to pick it up in the first round and really put things together, just because naturally things are going to come together when you're mixing so many different, like, strikes and stuff like that. He's got very creative striking, you know what I'm saying? Like, he just kind of lets it flow. His defense is pretty solid too, and his grappling is top notch. I think, I don't know top notch, but his grappling defense at least is pretty darn good.
Yeah, he's shown vast improvement. He's a fighter that's shown improvement fight to fight on his grappling defense. I don't think Anderson's going to try to fucking take him down.
Well, I don't think he's going to either. I'm just saying, I just don't think Anderson is sharp and as fast as he was before. And I think where he's going to be left in the dirt, you know? There's going to be shots that Anderson used to just lean and rock with, you know what I mean? And just kind of, you know, glide off the chin, you know what I'm saying? He used to just do that where he'd like turn with a punch. But it's starting, he just doesn't have that same flow that he had before, and Israel does right now. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? He's took in so many, like, people that he admired throughout his, like, fighting career and kind of took bits and pieces from everybody and kind of put together. His camp is fucking on the rise right now. They've got some serious guys coming out of there.
Hell yeah.
And honestly, if he's getting out of here, two men are on a collision course. It's fucking Israel Adesanya and Robert Whittaker, win or lose.
Yeah, I would actually say if he loses,
that could even be. I mean, you can't really make any other case for anybody else to get a title shot unless Anderson were to beat Israel. But
dude, that would be such a shocker if Anderson Silva beat Adesanya. That would be.
It'd be huge. He'd be back, dude. He'd get a title shot. I think if Kelvin Gastelum were to get out of there with a win against Whittaker, I think Anderson would have a legitimate chance of winning the championship again.
Yeah.
How sick would that be if Anderson fucking the spider came back, bro? That'd be like Bernard Hopkins, like 46, fighting for the belt, fucking winning that shit.
I think it's a pipe dream, but
for
it's
sure,
fighting,
but
it could happen.
But think about how realistic it is when we're talking about the UFC promised him a title shot if he were to beat Israel.
Dana did promise him a title shot.
And has publicly acknowledged that as well.
Well, yeah, but Colby Covington had a goddamn interim title.
Yeah,
belt.
But we're not talking about Colby Covington.
It doesn't matter his name. The name, whether you like him or it doesn't matter. They had an interim champion who they promised to fight.
Sure. And that's a different story.
The UFC doesn't mean anything.
Here's my thing. It does mean something when there's no other contenders and Anderson beats the biggest contender in the weight class. Even though he's old, even though he's not as good as he once was, he would still have a win over a guy who was surging to the top And there's really no one else really doing that right now. You got Yoel.
Yeah, as unlikely Yoel, who's as it not could fighting. Be, he
you got,
likely.
Well, think about it. You got Yoel, who's not fighting. Disagreeing. You got Rockhold, who's going to light heavyweight. Like, who? Weidman just lost to, I mean, maybe Jacare, but.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. You know what I'm saying? Thought, you know, it could happen. It would be a fairy tale story, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Like, if he wins the title.
He's so
and then
savage
he's like,
and then just retires.
He's normal. Even worse if he wins the title and fails another drug test.
Dude, did you see that shit he was talking about? Saying that people like him should be able to take testosterone.
Yeah. He was calling for TRT again.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. I get it.
I get it, too.
He's 41. He's been
Why
on
not,
the
dude?
Juice, obviously.
I've always said, to too, there the should juice. Be like a juice league, like where you can just juice up. Everyone
I
knows.
Think it's called if Risen.
You motherfucker. Oh, that one got me.
But yeah, he's calling for the juice. I get know. It. But so, yeah, I think we both agree, though. Adesanya's going to murk him.
I think so.
That's what's going to happen.
He's going to do a cool dance.
So let's talk then about the main event, man. Yeah. Let's talk about the middleweight championship of the world. Robert Whittaker coming back off of his second win over Yoel Romero, back from injury, fighting Kelvin Gastelum, who won the Ultimate Fighter at middleweight, then dropped down to welterweight, had some runs, missed some weight, came up to middleweight, did good, lost to Chris Weidman, did good again.
Here's the thing.
Here he is.
Here's my only concern, and it's with Robert Whittaker. How long ago was that 5-round fight?
What, with Romero?
About 8 months ago.
Yeah, it's been quite a while. I mean, he was injured.
So.
And then they did the Ultimate Fighter, which, you know,
not only,
it's like 6 months.
Before. So we're talking about two major 5-round fights, back-to-back, where he sustained major injuries in both.
Against a beast.
Against a beast of a person. And then now he comes back. And in the last fight, his chin was really tested. I'm curious to see how he wears a punch in this fight, to be honest. Because Kelvin Gastelum he has hands that can put anybody to bed.
Absolutely.
And that's going to be a big problem if Whittaker goes in there and thinks that he's just going to bully him, because it's not going to happen, because Gastelum will let you walk him down, and he'll catch you on the way in and knock you the fuck out. That's what he almost did to Weidman.
Oh, remember, he was very
Weidman,
close
he was
to
letting Weidman walk him down. He's like, come on, come on. Load it up, hit him with that overhand right. Weidman was so fucking close to being out.
Absolutely.
And then also, he's done that to, he did that to Bisping. That was a little rough, but. And now,
he did it nonetheless.
Yeah, it's true. Then that fight with Jacare was real close as well, but he also showed real solid hands as well. You know what I'm talking about? So,
Well, what's your pick in that fight? What's your early prediction? It's going to be, you know, next Saturday. So our next episode, we'll be discussing the results. So here, a week out, you could still change your mind before, you know, we get there. But who's your early pick at this point?
I'm going to go with Kelvin Gastelum, because Robert Whittaker just broke his hand, too. And that's, sometimes when you break your hand, no matter what, it's just one of those things that your hands just aren't the same once you break your hand a few times. That's his second time he's broke that hand in a year and a half span?
Yeah, absolutely it is.
So,
I'm a
Robert. And another fucking 5-round fight for him, too. That's fucking. If he goes into the deep water, we're talking he's going to have around like 75 minutes of fucking cage time in his last 3 fights.
Robert Whittaker used to be a welterweight as well. So this isn't a fight where Gastelum's got this huge size disadvantage, like if he was fighting a Rockhold or something like that.
Don't get me wrong. So, Kelvin Gastelum's not the biggest guy, but.
No.
Robert Whittaker is not
he's bigger
huge dude.
Than
yeah.
Gastelum, but he's not one of these giants of the division.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, like you're not going to see Chris Weidman make 170 ever. Yeah, you're not going to see Rockhold. No. He'd have to cut off his leg to make 170.
Yeah.
So I got to agree with you, though. As much as I like Robert Whittaker, as much as a fan of his that I am, I think Gastelum's got this. I think this motherfucker's going to win the title in Australia. And silence, you know, a loud, boisterous crowd.
And I think that sets up a fight that he possibly can't win. I think if Israel Adesanya were to beat Anderson Silva and it's Israel Adesanya versus Kelvin Gastelum, Kelvin's going to have some real fucking
problems. I think anybody's going to have real serious problems with Israel Adesanya, be it Kelvin Gastelum, Robert Whittaker, anybody else. But yeah, I think you're right.
That's basically what I'm alluding to, honestly.
Not taking anything away from Kelvin.
Anything away from anybody.
Adesanya's something special.
Adesanya is on a fucking warpath, and he's putting on some performances in a year span. We're talking here.
Absolutely.
He's created so much noise without even... Like, yeah, he shit talks, but he doesn't, like... He's not overly, like aggressive. You know what I'm saying? He's just more of, like, a witty shit talker. Like trolls people online and shit like that.
Right.
But this fight's different, man. Because this is, like... This is a legacy fight for him. You know what I'm saying? This is the passing of the torch. This is to see, are you legit? Because although Anderson is old, Anderson is a real seasoned fucking vet.
Yeah.
And you don't want to play any games with that motherfucker because you could go to sleep at any moment.
Absolutely. Anderson Silva could still easily, I mean, he could win a fight.
He can stop anybody in that division.
He's not like fucking Chuck Liddell, and I love Chuck, but he's not some old over-the-hill, shouldn't-be-fighting dude. Anderson's legit. He's still a legit top 10 fighter. Israel Adesanya's got to take him serious.
Yeah.
But the last stylebender's going to have his way with him.
I think so.
Absolutely.
I just don't think he's got the speed or precision that he used to have to really give Adesanya any kind of problems.
No, I don't think so either, my friend. I don't think so either. And so that brings us into our other brand new segment that we're debuting on this show and we're going to have from this forward out, which for right now we are calling Fighters Who Smoke, which is going to be where Paul and I take a look at fighters who use cannabis, perhaps who use CBD, and perhaps even people outside of MMA and other combat sports, boxing, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, etc. What they use it for, maybe what some of their comments are, maybe funny, humorous things, trouble they've gotten into, etc. So today on this episode on our Fighters Who Smoke, we are bringing up some fighter that we were just talking about. It's pretty fitting, Kelvin Gastelum. Now, Kelvin is a cannabis supporter. He has a little bit of a history with it, doesn't he, Paul?
Yeah, he got popped. Yeah, back he got when popped. They gave a fuck.
And it was early...
back when they really gave a shit about testing for weed. Now they don't really care.
Yeah, now they don't really care.
It's a lot less...
Luckily, he got caught in a state that wasn't too severe, so it wasn't, I believe it was Texas. It wasn't something outrageous, but it still had his win overturned.
Yeah, that was bullshit. It was
turned into a no contest. He had that taken away. I think he had a suspension. I should have looked it up before, but I just didn't. Yeah. It wasn't a major one. It wasn't like he was out 2 years.
Well, Texas
or
is one
like
of
that.
Those states where they still have some pretty strict laws when it comes to.
Texas will put you in fucking jail for weed still.
Yeah, that's what I'm
like
saying.
Like in the real world, it's
jail.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
Texas is no joke.
They don't fuck with that.
Like, it's not a friendly fucking marijuana state. If you're in Texas right now and you're listening to us,
sorry.
We're sorry about your weed laws.
Come through.
The thing is, you should come out here. You should try yourself some OMG THC shatter while you're here, like in our weed of the week. Get yourself the good shit. But hey, back to Kelvin Gastelum. Now, he's made a lot of interesting statements about weed. Like, now he got popped, and he went on Luke Thomas's show. Luke Thomas is an MMA journalist, if you've never heard of him before. This was back in 2017. He said some interesting things, though. He said that he thought that about 90% of mixed martial artists smoked cannabis, either daily, regularly, monthly, etc. What do you think of that, Paul?
Good.
Me too. Absolutely, man. I wish it was 100%, unless it's just people that don't like smoking.
Well, here's the deal. We've seen for the first time different guys in the MMA scene be really outspoken when it comes to marijuana and CBD and stuff like that. People are sponsored by CBD, different companies now, which is great.
Yeah, we see a lot of that here in Vegas, a lot of the local fighters here in town.
Well, Bellator's got a lot of fighters.
Bellator, yeah.
Got
with
a
shitload
of
right on their
fighter.
Fucking trunks. It's nice to see.
And we'll just going back to
you know, back like, to Kelvin and his 90% of MMA. And this wasn't UFC fighters specifically, but MMA fighters in general. This was back in...
Well, you got to think it's guys like Nate Diaz and the Diaz brothers that kind of paved the way for all these guys to, like, kind of be outspoken when it comes to weed. And, like, once everyone kind of saw that, like, the UFC wasn't really doing anything, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, even Nevada obviously, lowered their nanogram.
Well, here's the thing. No. Although Nick got fucking railroaded by the fucking...
Yeah, that was still...
By...
Before.
Yeah, it was before. But what I'm saying is they got it into, like, the mainstream. Like, remember when everyone was flipping out when fucking Nate and Connor fought? And Nate was smoking a CBD pen.
Oh, yeah, he was in that CBD
vape pen. Everyone was like, whoa, are you going to get suspended for that?
It was Ariel Helwani digging. Yeah. He was like, what is that you got there? What is it? And Nate was breaking down the CBD for people.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Kelvin went on. He went on in that Luke Thomas interview. This is back in June of 2017. He said that he's going to continue to smoke, even though we got popped. That he's just going to quit 6-7 weeks out. But he said he smoked not just for he smoked for recreational purposes, but he also smoked for a lot of training purposes. He said he felt that it helps him with his training, helps him with his recovery. He felt that he got benefits for inflammation. I felt like it gave him, you know, the mental break that we all know about, like you know, a lot of stress relief.
Just like clear your head. Just
absolutely. Sometimes you need to clear your head and relax, especially
or maybe you got a lot in your head and mind. You can't sleep.
Like, you're a former wrestler. I'm a former boxer. We're both still hitting the gym today. We're both doing shit. You know, when you get in there and you get some fucking hard training in, though, but you come home and you want to come home and you want to hit that weed. You know what I mean? And get that break. So he's using it for that.
Plenty of times, even now that I've had like my knees still hurt from like back then. And sometimes I'm smoking.
Yeah, no, you're not hitting the gym right now at the moment because you're knees fucked up. But I mean, on the regular, that's what we would be doing. But, you know, another thing he came out and Kelvin said that he's really against prescription pills.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, he doesn't want to take them for his injuries.
Well, think about the long-term effects when it comes to those kind of things, too. Those fuck your liver up, man.
It's some of the worst drugs you can possibly take long-term.
100%.
I mean, it's terrible. And that's the other great thing.
Aspirin, too, fucks your...
Yeah, even aspirin. They tell all that bullshit about taking an aspirin a day that they used to feed us way back. Yeah, that's not healthy. None of these things are healthy for you, let alone taking, you know,
They also used to tell people smoking cigarettes is cool.
Morphine. You know? Yeah.
That's what's kind of – it's like the changing of the culture now that weeds have kind of been put into the spotlight. People are realizing that a lot of these pharmaceutical companies have been paying millions of dollars to push these people down – really don't know what the fuck they're talking about because this shit is saving people's lives. You know what I'm
absolutely
saying? And although a lot of people get a lot of people need their medications and stuff like that to keep them going, and I understand that, but there's ways and like people that you can
cannabis
get
is legit.
Contact
yeah.
with to
you
like,
can do your own research and see it's there's science behind it. Now there's football players talking about getting off opiates. There's guys like Kelvin Gastelum. You know,
even
MMA fighters get hurt. They deal with a lot of fucking pain. It's no joke. They could get pain pill subscriptions real easy if they needed them. It's not a fucking issue.
No, not at all.
And it's exciting to see Kelvin come out. You and I have both met him. He's cool as fuck. We've talked with him before. It's amazing, just as an aside, to think that he's fighting for the middleweight title when
it's crazy.
We've stood face to face and spoke with him. I'm slightly taller than him, it seemed. Like, he's not a big man. And he's got so much power in his hands. It's crazy.
Fuck yeah.
But, you know, back to the weed scene. It's really cool to see guys like him on that.
Yeah.
Even getting busted, still not afraid to come
out
and
support. Not giving up. Keeping it
moving. Not giving up on it. Exactly.
Well, now
you know what I mean?
Well, now that he's gotten through that process and everything, now that everything's kind of more died down since then, now he's at the forefront. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. So shout out to Kelvin Gastelum. Yeah. Wish him all the luck in the world going into this fucking fight. We're sure he hasn't been smoking this past month. Like he said, 5-7 weeks out, he's stopping, but he's fighting for that title. He is our fighter.
Man, I'm so flip of a coin with that fight though, man. That could go either way so easily.
That wraps up our Fighter Who Smokes feature and of the week. And I got to say, yeah, dude, I really want Kelvin to win. But I'm not going to be shocked if Robert Whittaker pulls it off, like you were saying.
That's a tough one.
Absolutely, dude. That's great. Fight. I'm looking forward to
fucking love the UFC.
We got a nice week of build up. We got press conferences coming up. We got all that cool shit coming, and we'll be coming back to you next week with the results of that fight.
Yep.
Plus a whole lot more. We'll have a brand new weed of the week. We'll have a brand new fighter who smokes, and we will have the best in combat sports action that we can find. With that, thank everybody for tuning in. Whether you're listening on WBUZ 95, you can find us on radio.net. Just search WBUZ 95, or you can also use the Orange Radio app. We are heard there worldwide on Thursday nights. That's 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern, and 6 out here on the West Coast. You can, of course, find us on iTunes. You can find us on Google Play, SoundCloud, all the podcast distribution channels. And if you like video, we are, of course, on YouTube.
Yep. Shout out to OMG THC.
Absolutely. Once again, we want to thank OMG THC for this delicious tangerine chatter. You can find out a bit more of them. Their website is still under construction, but if you're coming out here to Vegas, ask for them at your dispensary.
Sure.
Check on weedmaps.com. You can find them at New Woo Dispensary right now, newwoocannabis.com. Search OMG. With that said,
or find them on Weedmaps.
Weedmaps is the best. Absolutely.
Yep.
You can find out more about us on SWATMMA.com.
Yep. Go check out some of our shirts on there.
Yes. Cool. Click on that SWAT gear button. Shirt. We've got some cool shirts. If you like the podcast, you want to give us some support, check out some shirts.
We got hoodies on there as well.
Absolutely. We got new ones on the way, folks.
Oh, yeah. Well,
thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Later.
Peace.